Okay, well, Masechet Brachos, Perek Tes, Mishnah Base, 9-2. These are more brachos of Sheva Vahoda. These are particular brachos that are recited on a certain experiencing of natural phenomena that is moving or should be moving, and therefore one should direct his inspiration or the poignant nature of this particular thing that he's experiencing in nature and recognize it comes from Hashem who does these things. So we'll actually have two separate potential blessings. We'll see inside the Mishnah says, Al HaZikin. Zikin are, there's two pshatim wrote down in the Rishonim. According to Rashi, it's a shooting star or a meteor. According to the Rambam, it's a comet. And the Mishnah Berurah says on both of those, the blessing will be the same, which is Shekochu Gvrasa Mala Olam, that Hashem's power fills the world, says the Mishnah. We'll come more in a minute back to the Halach Lamais and the Brachas. As far as what these things are, so a meteor is a piece of debris that was floating around, like an asteroid or something, a small piece of debris that fell into Earth's atmosphere, and as it falls down to the Earth, it burns up, and from friction as it enters the atmosphere, and it's going mighty fast, and that burning up causes it to be to glow red and like make a fireball in the sky, and that's what we see. A comet, on the other hand, is a kind of like a dirty snowball, a very large dirty snowball that orbits the sun, and it melts when it gets close to the sun. And as it melts, it leaves some debris gets loose, dust, ice, etc., is loosened, and that reflects the sun's light, much the same way they say the moon reflects the sunlight. So it makes what appears to be like a star in the sky with a tail that can persist in a very bright comet. Big comet can persist for days or even weeks in the sky. And again, one sees that, he makes a bracha. Mishnah continues on, Al HaZva'os. Zva'os are earthquakes. So when the earth quakes, when the earth shakes, that of course is, you know, tectonic action, plates on which you're standing are moving around. But one makes a bracha on that experience because it certainly is an experience of the forces in nature that are so much larger than ourselves. And again, we recognize those all come from Hashem. Bal HaBarakim, Barakim is lightning. Bal HaRa'amim, and Ra'amim are thunder, claps of thunder. When one sees lightning or hears thunder, again, he makes the bracha. I'll come back in a moment to Halach L'maisa. And finally, Bal HaRuchos. And the fifth thing on the list is on very strong winds, storm winds. Again, one certainly gets a glimpse of the power of nature when he sees, you know, a hurricane or a tornado, etc. And on that also, he makes the bracha, Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shekocho Ugvuraso Mala Olam, whose koach, his power, and gvura, his might, Male Olam, fills the world. This bracha, the idea is that since many people simultaneously experience this particular event, whether it be the comet, shooting star, the earthquake, lightning, thunder, and storm winds, so since everyone experiences it simultaneously, it's like a wider experience and sort of filling the world, meaning a wide swath of the world. On the other hand, certain natural phenomena are not so dynamic, they're more static, and people apprehend them individually. And those, the bracha will be different. The Mishnah says, Al HaHarim, if one sees a significant mountain, Bal HaGva'ot, or a significant hill, Bal HaYamim, or seas, the ocean, etc., Bal HaNaharas, or significant rivers, not a small river like the Jordan, but a big river, like the Rhine River. The Aruch HaShulchan brings a wide river, shows the Mississippi, Colorado, etc. And finally, Bal HaMidbaros, on a big open expanse of nature. Midbar doesn't necessarily mean the desert. It could be any sort of wide open, uncivilized, you know, Yosemite National Park or the Grand Canyon, etc., or Antarctica for that matter. Midbar, big open area. So these things are all inspiring, and therefore one makes the bracha, Baruch Ose Ma'asa Bereishis, which is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Ose, who makes or does Ma'asa, the acts of Bereishis, of creation. Again, one's seeing sort of something that Hashem made and has been there by natural forces that Hashem brought about, and they're impressive and inspiring, and therefore one should direct the inspiration towards Hashem. Now, it's important that what you're apprehending is created by natural forces and not man-made. So, for example, if one came across the Suez Canal, for argument's sake, there, of course, you are seeing the ocean, but the Pacific and Atlantic are connected, but since it's man-made, one would not make a bracha on the Suez Canal, for example. Now, the Gemara and Brachas Nantes raise the issue that the bracha also ma'as v'reishis, Hashem is the one who made the different works of creation, and that bracha seems also appropriate for lightning, thunder, earthquakes, etc., which are also driven by Hashem and the powers that form the world and so. And therefore, it's not clear when the Gemara says that that's also appropriate. In fact, if one should make one bracha or two brachas on those phenomena, meaning should one make both the kochuk v'rasim ba'ala olam and in addition those amas of rachis or not. The custom is certainly that one doesn't make two brachas on seeing lightning or thunder, earthquakes, etc. But the custom has been to make two different brachas when one has a storm of lightning and thunder, saying kochuk v'rasim ba'ala olam on the thunder clap and osamas of rachis on the lightning bolt. There's no good, great reason why it should be that way, just that ostensibly the experience of the thunderclap is certainly much more kochuk for us, an expression of feels, expression of a power because of that loud boom of the thunder, more than the osamas of rachis of witnessing the lightning. 2 points, one scientific, one halachic. From a scientific point of view, just for a moment to make it clear, what goes on with thunder lightning, just so you should understand, it's really two different outcomes of the same phenomenon. When there's a differential in terms of electric charge between the clouds and other clouds or the ground, there can be a discharge where the differential is equalized and the electrons, you know, flow from, let's say, from the cloud to the ground or vice versa, or between two clouds. When that happens, essentially it creates tremendous heat as those electrons flow through the atmosphere, through the air. It's actually several times hotter than the surface of the sun, and puts the atmosphere into a plasma state. When that happens, it glows very brightly through black body radiation, and that bright glow is what one sees as lightning. At the same time, because it heats up so fast, the air expands and creates, you know, a pressure wave, which one hears, so that makes the thunder clap. Now, since lightning is seen with eyes and it's really, you know, from photons, it moves the speed of light, whereas the thunder clap is moving through air and only moves the speed of sound much, much, much slower. Light travels essentially virtually instantaneously at some like 300,000 kilometers a second, whereas the sound of the thunder only travels at the speed of sound, which is more like 1,000 kilometers an hour or so. So one invariably sees the lightning before he hears the thunder, and that's normal. And therefore, one in theory would make the osama sabaratius before the kochug v'rasim ala olam. Now, in practice, usually one hears the thunder, and that alerts him to the fact that there's a lightning storm happening. And therefore, one would typically make the bracha on the thunder first, the kochug v'rasim ala olam, and then wait to hopefully see a lightning bolt, so you can make the bracha of osamas abrasius. But it's worth saying that since osamas abrasius is sort of a catch-all bracha, which is sufficient for both lightning and thunder, very possible that if one said osamas abrasius, that would cover both the lightning and the thunder, and therefore it would be better for one, much better for one, to make the kochug v'rasim ala olam bracha on the thunder before making the osamas abrasius on the lightning. The Mishnah continues and says, "Rav Yehuda Omer, Harue Esayam Hagadol. One sees the great sea. Omer Baruchsha Asa Esayam Hagadol. He makes a special blessing, this different bracha on making the great sea, and the Mishnah ends that point by saying, "Bizman Shiroso Lefrakim." Provided he only saw the great sea at intervals, meaning 30-day intervals. So it hasn't been 30 days. It's been more than 30 days since the last time he saw the sea. To make the bracha. Now, the identity of the Yam HaGadol is a machlokus, whether it's the okeanos, meaning the ocean, generic ocean, or if it's referring specifically to the Mediterranean or the part of the Mediterranean on the east that touches the shores of Israel. Now, the reason why it would be called the Great Sea if it's referring to the Mediterranean is that it indeed touches Israel, and that which is, you know, connected to Israel is considered more important. Worthy also of note is that even in antiquity,
they referred to the Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean that touched Israel as the Mare Magnus, the great sea in Latin. And that then is probably what Rabbi Yehuda meant. But the Bartonura learns it's the Okeanos. Okeanos meaning the not the Mediterranean Sea, but the general ocean. Just a point of clarification. Almost all the salt water in the planet Earth is interconnected. There's no real difference, scientific difference, between the seas and the ocean. There are a few saltwater lakes, not talking about those. And the Mediterranean is included in that. The Mediterranean, of course, connects the Atlantic. So it's a bit hard to understand exactly why the Mediterranean would have a different din than Atlantic proper. But be that as it may, one should play it safe. And when he is seeing the Mediterranean off the Israeli coast, should still say Osama Sabratius as opposed to of Sha'asa Siyam HaGadol, because that's Osama Sabratius is a catch-all which covers regardless. And that's the way to do it. If one is going through the Straits of Gibraltar and has the Atlantic Ocean on one side and the Mediterranean on the other side, perhaps then he could more commonly say the Osa Siyam HaGadol. There's another part of the Mishnah here, but I prefer to say the second part of Mishnah Beis with Mishnah Gimel. I will explain why in the next Mishnah.